So last week we talked about mindfulness of breath, and I think I mentioned that mindfulness of breath is part of a section of the Satipatthana Sutta, often referred to as the first foundation of mindfulness, first or mindfulness of body in the broadest sense of the word. And there's actually six sets of teachings in that particular section, and we won't actually cover all of them, though I will talk about some, most of them. I want to add two more of them today. So I want to read, this is directly from the sutta. So again, monks, remember this is addressed to monks, but it's really for all of us. When walking, he knows I am walking. When standing, she knows I am standing. When sitting, he knows I am sitting. When lying down, she knows I am lying down. Or he knows accordingly, however his body is disposed. So this is called mindfulness of postures. So this is Buddhist code, I should warn you. This is Buddhist code. Basically, it says, means all the time. When are you not walking, standing, seated, or lying down? Or knowing according however his body is disposed. And it's, well, how you don't happen to be, you might be sort of half walking, half sitting, or just sitting up, or just lying down, or all those sort of transition times. They are equally. So what the Buddha is saying here is you can be mindful, you can practice mindfulness all the time. And there are, even in formal practice, there are formal ways of not only practicing sitting, there's ways of practicing standing, walking, and lying down. So there's actual formal practices for all of those, but also just, it's like this general, well, anytime message. Then he goes on, this is called activities. Again, monks, when going forward and returning, he acts clearly knowing. When looking ahead and looking away, she acts clearly knowing. When flexing and extending his limbs, he acts clearly knowing. When wearing her robes and carrying her outer bowl and robe and bowl, she acts clearly knowing. When eating, drinking, consuming food and tasting, he acts clearly knowing. When defecating and urinating, she acts clearly knowing. When walking, standing, sitting, falling asleep, waking up, talking, and keeping silent, she acts clearly knowing. So clearly knowing means mindful. That's one of the meanings of mindful, or another translation of mindful, like clearly knowing, seeing it, not just knowing it's happening, but clearly knowing, like knowing exactly what's happening without any filters. And so once again, now he's saying, what doesn't matter what you're doing? Whether you're, just, stretching, or you're, eating and doing all those things you do this for food, or just talking, or waking up, or falling asleep, or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. We can be mindful all the time. And this is an important idea. And that's that we, if we're not careful, we look at mindfulness as something we do this formal time, half an hour, whatever the time period it is, every day. And then the rest of the day is the rest of the day. And we sort of separate mindfulness practice from everything else. And the Buddha is very clearly pointing to, no, no, no. You can be mindful of anything at any time. This is an important thing to remember, because if all we're ever going to do is sit for half an hour every day and be mindful for that half hour, then the other 23 and a half hours, who knows? What a waste. we haven't got the program here. So that's one thing I want to point out. The other thing is, this equally applies to our formal sitting practice using noting. We can actually note whatever's going on, not just the breath. The breath is convenient and it's a good place to start. And sometimes when we need to really focus, when we're a little scattered perhaps, just staying with the simple breath practice we did last week might be a very skillful thing to do. But you can also sort of open the container wider and take in everything that's happening in terms of body sensation in various ways. I want to read this. This is from this is a big fat book called the Samyutta Nikaya. This is a particular little sutta that I points very clearly to this. This is the Buddha talking again. Bhikkhus, I will teach you the all. Listen. And what, bhikkhus, is the all? The eye informs, the ear and sounds, the nose and odors, the tongue and taste, the body and tactile objects, you know, physical sensations, the mind and mental phenomena. This is called the all. Anyone, bhikkhus, who should speak thus, having rejected this all, I shall make known another all. That would be a mere empty boast on his part. If he were questioned, he would not be able to reply, and further, he would meet with vexation. For what reason? Because, bhikkhus, that would not be within his domain. So what he's saying here is, really, at the simplest level, all that's ever happening is we're receiving sense impressions at one of the six sense doors. We're seeing something, hearing something, smelling something, tasting something, having tactile sensation, body sensation in the broadest sense, or something's arising at the level of mind, which is, as far as the Buddha's teachings is concerned, is just another sense. You know, we think we only have five senses. The Buddha says, no, you got six. The mind is just another sense door. And all that's ever happening is things are arising at one of those sense doors. And so at the simplest level, what we could do in terms of noting, which we already did a little bit because we had thinking. Remember, we had thinking. That's just noting that particular sense door was stimulated, and we noticed it. But we can do that for anything. Anything that's arising at any of the sense doors, in the simplest way, we could just note hearing, seeing, smelling. What's happening now? I'm smelling, or I'm hearing, or whatever. You know, and that's the simplest form of noting for everything that's arising. I mean, really, we're saying let's open the doors wide, and just tune into what's actually happening right now. Which is a way that mindfulness is often described. However, several things should be noted. One is, we have about 20 sense impressions a second. So we're probably not going to be able to note them all. We're probably going to be able to note some of them, right? So then the question is, well, how do we choose? And how often do we choose? And the whole teaching on noting revolves around this simple idea that every 3 or 4 seconds, we note what's most prominent, what's catching our attention more than anything else in that moment. So it might be a sound, it might be a taste, it might be, who knows, you know, you're sitting there and you're paying attention and you taste a little residue of your dinner and you go, that was a really good pizza or whatever, you know. And you have that. And then what you do, whatever you've chosen to note, you then stay with that particular sensation experience for 3 or 4 seconds. And then you just sort of stick your head up again and go, now what? You know, is there something else catching my attention? And it might be the same thing, and it might be the same thing over and over and over again for, you know, some period of time, and you just keep noting it every 3 or 4 seconds. Or it might be something totally different. Because things arise at one of the sense doors. They're there for a while. And then they're gone. This is the nature of all phenomena. Everything that's happening in this constant stream of sensation and mental arisings, it's just part of a flow of things that's there, hangs out for a while, and then it disappears. So, you know, say what you noticed is your nose was itching. So you know, sensation. And then if you just pay attention to it, it might be, you know, 4 seconds later, it might still be itching. And then 4 seconds later, it's still itching, but not quite as much. And if you just keep paying attention, it just goes away. You don't have to scratch it. You don't have to scratch your itches. You just let them be, and they'll go away all by themselves. Eventually. And eventually it might be in 3 breaths, it might be 30 breaths. Who knows? Depends on how itchy you are, I suppose. But you see what I'm saying? We're just going to pick something, note it, hang out with it, experience it, see how it, even in that 3 or 4 seconds, it starts to change, and then see if something else catches our attention that it's stronger than what we noted 3 or 4 seconds ago. It's just a pattern we're setting up. Now, here's another problem. Here we are just sitting. We're going to note at whatever's arising and whatever catches our attention. And nothing catches our attention, which is pretty normal, to be honest with you. About 80% of what arises at our sense doors is totally neutral. It doesn't grab us in any way. It's just sort of there. You know, that noise in the background or you know, that there's that funny thing on your screen that you're looking at right now and you see it, but it doesn't really, you know, grab you in any way or whatever. It's just stuff that's arising. When that's the case, then we choose to consciously go back and just note the breath. Because the breath is always there and we already know how to do that. This is called anchored awareness, where the breath is the anchor. So we always have a place to go back to if nothing catches our attention enough to want to note it. It's just, oh, okay, no, there's nothing there, so I'll just, oh, the inhale, okay, fine. And then 3 or 4 seconds later, you look again, and maybe there's still nothing, and you keep noting the breath for 4 or 5 breaths. And then your nose itches again, or whatever, you know, something happens. Something catches your attention that's strong enough to make you pay attention to it and note it. And that's the whole cycle. Where that's the idea behind noting, is that we're just going to note what's happening now that catches our attention. But, several buts. But number one, often the sensation we're paying attention to, you know, instead of, you know, sensation or feeling, which is sort of a general word, it might be there's some word we would use to describe that particular sensation. So if it's a physical thing, like might be hot or cold or itchy or, you know, whatever. If it's something we hear, it might be loud or soft or hummy or some word that, just like when we were talking about paying attention to the breath last week, and we said, well, when you're paying attention to the breath, sometimes long breath or deep breath or short breath or choppy breath, if some word arises that's stronger than the actual sense name itself, that's what we should use as our note. Because it ties us more tightly to what's actually happening. We've got a stronger connection to it. And we have to remember another thing. Our senses have sort of two modes. You know, the senses can be passive, or they can be active, which is the difference between hearing, which is passive, and listening, which is consciously directing the mind towards paying attention to what's coming into our ears. Listening is an active process, and what we're talking about here is all of these processes are passive. We're just hanging out, waiting to see what pops up now. What catches our attention now? That's all we're interested in. Not trying to manufacture anything, not going out looking for anything, not expecting anything, not valuing some things more than others, other than that's the one that got my attention. And what caught my attention might be pleasant, unpleasant, who knows? We'll talk about that later. But is it, that's what's catching my attention now, that's what I'll note. And if you have a word, a descriptive word that pops into the mind, and once again, we don't want to start going to figure out, well, was that salty or was that sort of more sour when we're talking about taste, for instance. Don't go into figuring things out. We just want to, if a word is there clearly that you can use to describe more precisely what you're experiencing in that moment of noting, then use that word. Otherwise, just the words hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, feeling, thinking are perfectly good notes. And lastly, often we hear, let's say we hear something, and so we just note hearing, or it's some car going by in the street outside, and we note, you know, loud, or because it's got a loud noise, right, or humming noise, or whatever. What often happens, however, is we sort of almost automatically, if we're not careful, go another step. It's like loud car, sounds like my old Chevy. Oh yeah, I remember, you know, and off we go into some story in our minds of what was happening 20 years ago on when my old 57 Chevy was still operating, or whatever, you know, who knows what it was. But we do that. That's just the natural programmed functioning of mind. Something arises at one of the sense doors. We sense something, and then the mind immediately drops into what's called perception, of saying, oh, I know what that is, because I've heard that noise before, or I've tasted that taste before. Burrito. Oh, boy, I remember that place has great burritos, blah, blah. You know, whatever, who knows? That's what the mind does. You know? And what we're trying to do is go, I just want to see the raw sensation, whatever it is, and not figure it out, not fall into the process of perception. Though if you do that, then you could note thinking, I suppose, because now you've gone from noting the sensation to noting the process of thinking about the sensation. So now you can note thinking. And that's, in a sense, that's really all there is to this. I mean, he says casually, right? Except one other thing. If you've never done this before, this may seem overwhelming, would be a polite way to put it. It's like, oh my God, this, you know, when you start paying attention, it's like, God, there's so much going on. It's like, how can I choose? Oh my God, it gets to be very sort of scattering if you're not careful. And if that's the case, and this happens to not just to beginners, but to advanced practitioners, by the way, including me, sometimes it's like, oh, this is just this wide open space I'm opening up to is just too much right now. It can be quite skillful to go, okay, let's back off. Let's go back to just paying attention to the breath and just hang up with the breath for a couple of minutes, and to get my concentration more settled and my mind more settled. And then I can open up and pay attention to the full spectrum again. This is a skill a meditative practice skill that we learn. When to open up and when to sort of focus down. And it's something we learn to do by repeated practice. You know, the temptation is going to be, especially if what's arising isn't very pleasant. Oh, I'll just go back to the breath. Now we're just avoiding, which is different. We'll talk more about that over the next few days, few weeks of this class, actually. So we have to be careful we don't use the retreat to just the breath to avoid. That, you know, some of the stuff that's arising that we're noting, is this, could be, who knows what it is, but it's just stuff that's arising. And it's not always going to be joyous and sweet and wonderful. There's two common misconceptions about mindfulness and meditation in general. One is that what we're trying to do is have a pleasant experience. Well, sorry. Sometimes it's incredibly pleasant, and sometimes it's very difficult and unpleasant. And that's just the nature of life and mind. You know, my friend David Chernikov talks about the 10,000 joys and the 10,000 sorrows. And we have to be willing to experience them all. And a lot of what I'm going to be talking about for the next 2 or 3 weeks, actually, maybe more, is just how to work with that tendency. So be careful about choosing to retreat to something simpler. But also know that sometimes it can be quite skillful to just that. Give yourself a little break. You're still practicing mindfulness. It's just that you're trying to make things simpler. The other common misconception is that what we're trying to do with meditation and mindfulness is to stop thinking or control our mind. Good luck. That's all I have to say. You know, there's no way. You have no chance of controlling this mind at all. That's the nature of what minds are. They're pretty uncontrollable. So we can't stop thinking. If you stop thinking completely, you're probably dead. We don't want that to happen, okay? So just instead pay attention and just be with what's there and be okay and don't judge. That's the other thing that often starts arising is pretty soon you're going to hear some little voice in your head saying, oh, this is too hard, I can't do this. Oh, I don't like that. I'm trying to be find this calm and peace and stillness, and instead my mind is full of all this junk tonight. Which sometimes minds are full of junk. Just don't know. I mean, Joseph Goldstein's one of my teachers, and he said at some points his mind was so full of nonsense, the only thing he could note, the only note he had was chaos. And that was a perfectly good note, because what's going on right now? Chaos. Very precise note of what was arising. In a very broad sense, but that was, at the time, was what he could note. Chaos. It's okay. Chaos is okay. There's nothing wrong with chaos. That's what's here now. Okay, so I got chaos today. That's fine. It's the learning to be able to say, that's fine. That's what a lot of this practice is, especially at the beginning. But also at difficult times in our lives sometimes. Okay. So, before I actually start the formal 30-minute meditation practice, I just said a lot. If anyone has any questions about anything I've said, maybe you can ask them now. So I'm sort of opening the floor a little bit, and if no one has any questions, we'll just go ahead and sit, and that's fine too. Don't feel like you need to say anything or ask questions. At the same time, don't hesitate to ask questions. You'll ask a question and three other people will go, I'm so glad they said that, because now I don't have to. meditators tend to be introverts in general. So
when you're sitting with discomfort, when, I guess, how do you mindfully decide to change position, for example, like if you're sitting and your knees are strained, or
physical
start?
You're talking about physical discomfort.
Yeah. Like while meditating, when do you decide to intervene versus notice?
Okay, so that's a really good question, and there's two things I have to say about it. One is, in general, it's skillful to stay as still as you can as long as you can in this practice. The more still you are physically, the more steady and focused your mind becomes. It's a very much a straight line connection between the two. So in general, the advice is to try and stay still for the whole sitting period. But as you pointed out, you know, sometimes you're sitting there, depending on the position you're in or how you're feeling today or what you ate for dinner, who knows? And there's physical discomfort, like in the knees, or it's a classic one, or in the hips. And so the desire to move arises. And then when is it wise to move and when is it wise to not move? I think that's what your question is.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. It's like, well, yes, but maybe. It's like, if you can just pay attention to that sensation, you know, in some sense, if you have a very strong sensation going on in the body, being able to just note it. Oh, lucky you, you've got a really nice, strong meditative thing to pay attention to. Your mind is going to stay very still and focused because it's focusing on that strong sensation. So that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is, where is that sensation? Is that pain sensation in a joint or in a muscle? If it's in a joint, knees, hips, ankles, move. Because if not, you just end up, over the longer period, damaging your joints. And so it's not wise to sit there with joint pain, because that just, joint pain is, hey, you're doing something to the internal ligament structure of your joint that's over time going to really damage it. I can't tell you the number of long-term meditators I know who've had hip and knee replacements because they didn't do this. They didn't pay attention. They said, no, the instruction is I'm going to be still, so I'm going to be still and I'll grit my teeth and stay with this. Don't go there. So that's the other extreme. Somewhere in the middle is, yeah, this pain is there, but it's clearly just muscular tension sort of pain. It might be interesting to just hang out with it and see what happens to it and see if I can see it changing, which it always will. It'll get more intense, less intense. It'll move to a different part of the leg or a different part of the muscle. All kinds of interesting things happen when you pay attention and see things. So, and then it's like, oh, I've had a really hard day and I feel kind of grumpy. I'm going to move because no sense sitting here being grumpy, so I'll move so I'm less grumpy at least. So all of these things play, and once again, this is where the skill of practice comes. Over time, you learn when it's skillful for you, your particular body, in this particular moment, in this particular time, to move. I wish I could give you a simple answer, but I can't, because there is no simple answer.
An incredibly descriptive answer, and thank you so much. It does clarify a lot for me.
Okay, good. Then now you just get to practice and that'll be fine. And hopefully you won't get any pain that you have to move with today, but who knows? Just hang out with it as much as you can. Okay, so now we'll just, I love questions like that because it's sort of, I'm sure all of you are going, oh yeah, I never, some of you are sort of taking it in and paying attention to it too, which is good. Okay, so let's just find Franny, are you trying to speak? But your mic isn't on.
There. Okay. Got it. I'm going to try and articulate what's going on in this brain. In mindfulness, when I'm sitting and I'm, say, focusing on the breath, and then, you know, something comes up from the past or the future, as it usually does, and I note that, talk to me about the difference between being mindful and noting.
Noting is just a skillful means to assist in the process of mindfulness. So they're not one. One is a process, a skillful means. The other is this general. It's a mindfulness in its fullest expression is a wholesome mind state that arises as we practice.
Okay. So, got it. Thank you.
Okay. We'll talk a lot more about those sorts of things over the next few weeks. Don't worry. We'll spend a bit more time with the body next week. And then after that, we're going to get into how the mind works and all the different layers of mental process, which is a lot of what the sutta is all about. And we'll discuss all that a lot more. But for now, just it's best as possible to stick with the thinking note, and that'll be fine. Okay. So now you just want to get comfortable. Remember, you want to sit in a way that you feel comfortable, but you feel also solid, grounded, connected. And then you just start paying attention to what's arising and noting it. Maybe just the breath for a few minutes to start, that helps you sort of focus. And so I'm going to turn off the recording in a few seconds, so people listening to the recording know this is meditation time for half an hour, or however long you want to meditate. And then at some point I will turn the mic on again and ring the bell. Meantime, just let's all sit together. So I want to share a little more with you, and then I want to open the floor and people can share what they're experiencing. The thing about sense impressions, in the broad sense, one thing we really need to understand, and that's that we are constantly, constantly seeking pleasant sense impressions. We're just like, almost like we're hardwired to do that. Like we want the good stuff, please. Like we want to experience the things that are pleasant. And when something, so as we're sitting there and we're noting something and it's pleasant, the tendency of mind is to hold on to it. I want that to stay. I want more of that. And now you're not paying attention to what's actually arising. You're trying to control what's arising, which is different than being mindful. Now we're caught in wanting to control things again, as opposed to just being okay with what's there. Conversely, when something unpleasant arises, like an itch, something, you know, it's like we want to make it go away. We want to ignore it. We want to push it away. And we don't want that. Once again, we're trying to control the experience instead of just experience it, pay attention to it. And this is our habitual pattern. And part of what we're trying to do with mindfulness practice in the broad sense is start to see that's what we're doing. Over and over and over again. We're starting to actually see that that's what's going on. You know, if we're going to see, if we're going to be clearly seen, see what is obviously there. This is the pattern that will be obviously there over and over and over again. And the problem with this whole idea is that we somehow think, if I could just figure out a way that I only ever had the pleasant stuff, and I never had any unpleasant stuff, then I'd be happy. Well, thing is, you can't do that. And it might be that in a particular moment in your life, it might be that you've created this perfect situation where you got had enough to eat, you have a nice place to live, you have a good job and a wonderful partner and a great dog, and on and on and on and on, all the things you think you need to be happy. And then, because everything is changing all the time, that moment might be 10 moments in a row, who knows, might be a whole day. Changes just like that. Something changes, and now that construct you mentally created that said was labeled perfect life, gone. Change just like that. And so what we're trying to learn to do is, instead of being reactive to what's arising, instead of trying to hold on to what we like and trying to push away what we don't like, what mindfulness is all about, and in the broadest sense, is learning to not be non-reactive, to just see what's there and be able, no matter what it is, be okay with what's there. In the broadest sense, we'll talk about ways to work with this over the next 7 weeks. I mean, don't worry, I'm going to say a lot more about this, but I wanted to point this out as this is what's going on, while we're sitting there practicing, but moment to moment in our daily life, if we're not being mindful. And if we can be mindful in our daily life out there in the world, we start to see ourselves doing this all the time. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't enjoy pleasant things. Not for one second would I say that. I just had a great dinner before I sat down here. Homemade empanadas. And it was just like, with homemade guacamole. It was just wonderful, wonderful. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that if I expect that it's always going to be wonderful like that, then I'm in trouble, because some days it isn't so great. And this is the nature of life. And who knows what else. Okay. And what this practice is leading towards is what I've described as sort of an intellectual concept. And this practice allows us to actually know and experience what I just said as something more than just an intellectual concept. That's where the practice is heading. Okay, so now I'm going to sort of open the floor, as I did last week. And if people have anything they want to share or any more questions based on what happened while you were sitting there for half an hour, now we can have some time for that. And if no one has anything to say, that's okay. Don't feel it ever that you are obliged to say anything at all. If you want to say something, you just turn on your mic.
I have sort of a technical question, I guess, about the noting. Could you say anything about like the speed at which you do the noting? You know, you said like this, like 3 to 4 seconds kind of interval.
Sometimes, as the mind slows down, as it will, as you go deeper into practice and get more concentrated, that might become 5 or 6 seconds. But it's like 3 or 4 seconds is the general suggestion for where to start. And how do you know? You don't want to be looking at your watch. Oh, there's another 4 seconds going by. So it's like, note, dun, note. And in the dun, 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 you're paying attention to what you noted.
Uh-huh.
And it's just you, you over time you get a rhythm that suits you. Whether it's for some people it's five, for some people it's three. As I said, as your mind gets much stiller, the noting might slow way down and be, you know, eight notes a minute or something. You know, it's like everything is variable depending on what's going on. Does that answer it all, Alex?
So, is there a goal to kind of like get it slower over time,
no,
or
don't
like,
go?
I tend to go faster. I think like it's more like 1 a second or something like
yeah,
that.
Well,
I think I'm kind
okay.
of ping-ponging pretty fast.
Yeah. So slow down. But the goal, there's no goal to make it really slow. Goals just get in the way. Goal is now I'm trying to find something pleasant called that perfect noting pace. You know,
yeah,
now,
okay.
So it's like we don't want goals. We just want to understand that over time, as the practice changes and as our mental space changes, we adjust. But if you're noting every second, I'd say you're not. The problem with noting every second is you never get to stay with any one thing long enough to see it clearly and see it start to change, even in 3 or 4 seconds. So that's
okay. Thank you.
You know, and you know, maybe you have a slow metronome that you can go click. You know, I've known people who've done that because they wanted to have something that told them when to do it again. I wouldn't recommend it, but who knows? Everybody finds what works for them. But it's just like you find a pace that allows you to see something, stay with it. Okay, now. And sometimes you'll stay with the same thing for quite a while too. I mean, but it's like you're choosing every 3 or 4 seconds what to note.
Great, thank you. That's helpful.
Okay.
I think to kind of build on that, do you notice sensations at the same time? Maybe it is just my own experience of also moving quickly through them, but I find myself, you know, noticing what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling at the same time, or there are multiple kind of overlaying sensations. I don't quite know exactly
okay.
how to ask this question, but
I'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
but in general, you're not. What I would say is try and pay a bit more attention to what's prominent. What sticks out above all those other sensations? Because, yeah, you're having 20 sense impressions a second, so it's pretty easy to get blurry. But if you can actually know what catches my attention more than anything else is the question you're sort of asking as you note. Kevin, you had something there.
No, I just, for me, I kind of know when the noting has gone beyond noting.
Yeah.
You know, right? So
yeah.
It's like, you know, oh no, I'm not noting this anymore. I'm thinking about this.
Yeah. That's one thing. And the other thing about noting is just a skillful means. And at some points in practice, noting just falls away.
Yeah.
And that and so it's not like all skillful means, they're just tools. And and especially at the beginning, and especially, you know, as we're learning to practice, and even like on some days, man, if I don't note, my mind's a train wreck. So noting helps me steady the mind.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like everything else, this is a practice we're learning. It's like learning how to play the piano or something, right? Everybody gets their own style and their own rhythm and all that sort of stuff. That's because we're all human beings and we're all different. We find what works. Yeah, but the difference in noting and thinking, that's an interesting one. Because now we're trying to, what was that? And now we're trying to figure it out. And yeah, as opposed to just staying with the raw experience.
Yeah.
Other thoughts, questions, comments?
Oh, yeah.
Karen.
Barry, I was introduced to this noting several years ago, and it was pretty difficult for me. But I was able to note that I went in the past, and I was at a house, in my mind, I was thinking about this house in Naperville where I used to live. And so I just said past. And then I was in the kitchen and I was looking at the microwave and, and I just said kitchen. And at first, I didn't want to think about this. I didn't want to be there. So I just shifted back to the breath, but it slipped back in, And so I practice to just be with it, which is something that has been a challenge for me to just be with it. And it really it was only there for a couple seconds. And then I was just in the breath. I kept breathing, but I was with it. But then I was just in the breath. And then another thing that my experience has been is that the times when I'm meditating and I might just sort of zone out, and it's like I'm not really anywhere. And it was brought to my attention at some point that that can be considered like a dull mind because you're not really aware. You're not really aware. You're just kind of, and I mean, years ago, I thought that was meditating. So I did that a couple, maybe a couple times, but I caught it. And then I just came back to the breath because what I understand is that is being clearly aware because I'm aware that I've kind of zoned out. And now I'm going to bring it back to the breath because that's the
That's
anchor.
good. That sounds like good practice to me. Being aware that, and the fact that you noticed that you, as you said, zoned out, you drifted, there was no awareness anymore. You weren't paying attention at all. And then you remembered, oh, I'm practicing. That's really skillful practice. And then what did you do? You started again. Skillful
It's
practice.
taken a long time. I mean, this is
Oh,
not an overnight deal,
this is a 9-week course on how to do it, and then there's the lifetime course of actually doing it, which is a different course that I
And then
can't teach.
so one question I do have is, so we practice this to help train our mind, and we notice that, we're kind of getting it in the when we're sitting, but then out in the real world, this noting, I mean, is does it do we
Well,
take it out there
it's
in the
pretty
real?
hard to note out in the real world unless you're like you might, you're sitting on a bench in the park and people are walking by and you think, oh, I think I'll just be still and notice what's, note, people
I
going
got you.
by,
So
and not rejecting anybody or thinking about it or trying to figure out, well, why do they have that dog? That's a stupid dog. All those things we have, right? And just being there and being aware. I find I can be in that state sometimes if I'm up high in the mountains above the tree line. I'm just sitting on the side of a mountain looking, and I can just look for quite a while and just like take in the wholeness of what I'm looking at without having to pick out anything or figure anything out or name anything. It's just like, so we have times like that, and I don't have to note that. I just have to be in it in a sense. And so that, but what were the problem is when we're not sort of being, and it's sort of in daily life, going through our daily life, we have to sort of pay attention to the stuff that's happening all around us. And, oh, I got to make sure that I really get cornflakes when I go to the cereal aisle and not end up with Rice Krispies instead. I mean, we have to pay attention. But it's like I can at the same time catch myself going, oh, look at that person. They're getting four boxes of the same cereal. Must be something wrong with them. And we start getting caught in judging and all those things that we do instead of being mindful and just going, Maybe they just like cornflakes. And that's okay. Or maybe they got a big family. You know, we mindfulness in the out in the world is more tuning into when we start to fall into unwholesome habits. And it's also what fun times when we're in the midst of a really wholesome experience and we tune into it and go, wow, this, I'm just sitting watching this person and they're just so happy, and there's, it's so sweet just to be here in this space with the same space with them and enjoying and feeling the joy of that. And you can be mindful that way out there in daily life. I'm being very broad and general because that's, I have to be about that. I don't want to, and at the same time, you can consciously go, and I was going to, I'll talk, normally talk about this later, but since you asked the question, you can actually choose some cue, something that happens a lot in your daily life, and go, every time this happens, I'm going to pause and take 5 breaths. So that you consciously build moments of mindfulness, conscious moments of mindfulness into your daily life. Every time you're about to turn on your phone, in our culture, that's a classic one, you know, but it could be you drive around in the car a lot, so every time you come to a stoplight and you're sitting there, and instead of being grumpy about having to sit at the stoplight, oh, I've got time for five clear breaths here. Lucky me, I get the practice in the middle of me driving someplace. And so we're changing our attitude towards things.
Okay.
You know, I teach mindfulness sometimes to the nurses at the hospital because I'm a volunteer at the hospital. And I say, because nurses are always going from one room to the next, and rush, rush, rush. I say, before you go into the room, just stop and take 3 breaths, conscious breaths. Every time you go through a door, stop and take 3 conscious breaths first and see if that helps make your day smoother. Simple little things like this, and this is like taking mindfulness into our daily lives by having little cues that remind us over and over and over again. Another way to do it.
Okay, thank you.
Other thoughts, questions, Victor?
Barry, you know, sometimes before I sit down to meditate, I do walking meditation, and I note walking.
Yeah.
Note heel up, thrust, touch, intending to walk, intending to stand. And is that, and so that noting kind of helps me sometimes when I sit down to do a meditation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was, I'm just wondering, as I was talking, as I was listening to you, is that noting while I'm walking meditation?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's more a concentration, isn't it?
Well, what's meditation and what's concentration? Yeah. They're like, you know, two sides of the same coin. But what you just described is the traditional way noting is taught in walking practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. From as simple as just step, step to, you know, lift, move, place, and, you know, heel, you know, like you can get into like 6 different steps in one step. And you know,
yeah.
Yeah. That's noting. That's the noting practice taken to walking meditation.
You know, I find that very helpful, and I can kind of focus on that. It's the physical action, and it's the word, and it really, you know, focuses what I'm doing.
Yeah, and that's formal practice. I mean, it's pretty hard to do that when you're walking down the street to go shopping. But if you make it, but it's formal walking practice. Yeah, and sometimes when I'm walking down the street to go shopping, if I'm just sort of paying attention to what's going on around, so I don't sort of walk into a tree or something, I can note just step, step, step as I'm walking to go someplace. Simple noting as opposed to the highly detailed sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody finds what works. Yeah.
Good.
Thank you, Victor.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we might have exhausted the questions and comments for this evening. So let's just dedicate the merit of our practice. May the beneficial energies arising from our practice here together today become the causes and conditions for the end of suffering and the awakening of all beings everywhere.